Last year, BC communities with more than 5,000 people started receiving invoices for DNA analysis being conducted by local police. The cost in Prince George, $51,000, while Dawson Creek, Fort St. John, and Prince Rupert are all in the $25,000 range. The Union of BC Municipalities has been fighting this change, saying it's another example of the province and federal government offloading costs to cities. Al Richmond is a president of the UBCM.
The federal government decided to redistribute its costs of DNA testing at labs that historically done and paid for 100% of the testing. The province, in negotiations with them, had some discussions, and the Fed decided they wanted to redistribute how it was allocated. So we've gone from a system where the province and the feds paid 100% of DNA testing to a system where the province has decided they needed to move some of those costs down to the local taxpayer. The province has helped communities of less than 5,000 to pay for DNA testing, but those communities more than 5,000, such as the city of Vancouver getting a bill for just under $700,000 for 2016-17. That's the equivalent of about 6 full-time police officers. Dawson Creek got a bill for about $25,000. Terrace is in a similar boat. Terrace, Quesnel, Dawson Creek have all written letters to the minister expressing surprise and concern over these costs. In my recollection is that Dawson Creek would get about a $25,000 bill. So unanticipated in a budget at this time of the year, or that time of year in the last fall, it's very difficult for them to come up with the money.
And I just want to be clear, I think people might be surprised to find out that DNA evidence gathering and testing isn't part of the police costs. It's not something that gets paid for with the RCMP.
Well, it's covered under a different set of contracts, which historically hasn't been paid by local government. Our concern basically is that this criminal activity and what's happening with respect to policing is far beyond local crime issues. For example, the recent incident, the unfortunate incident back east with the killing of the soldier who was on guard, Cenotaph. You saw this year Remembrance Day services, armed police officers protecting crowds of parades, people who are in Remembrance Day parades. That's an additional cost in policing. Those are costs, and those are the result of actions that are not the result of local government. And so we want to know who's paying for all these things. We're very concerned about that. We have to protect our citizens, but we also want to ensure that policing and the police investigations are conducted in a professional manner, and there doesn't become one-offs in local areas where local government says, I can't afford to pay this level of testing, and Mr. and the attachment commander, we don't want you to do that kind of testing because it's too expensive.
Thank you very much for your time this morning. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Al Richmond is president of the Union of BC Municipalities. Now, in a letter to the UBCM, the Minister of Public Safety for the province said it will not be changing this policy of charging cities for DNA testing, and says the increased cost to cities is because of changes made by the federal government. That's in a letter from the Minister of Public Safety, Mike Morris. Regardless, somebody needs to pay if DNA evidence is going to be used to fight crime. So we wanted to know whether the price is worth it. And for that, we've reached John Roman. He is a senior fellow with the Urban Institute's Justice Policy Center in Washington, D.C. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for joining us. Now, I wanted to ask about this because DNA testing is something that you see in crime shows. You send this evidence to the lab, you get it back. Is that what is actually happening in real life?
Well, it's actually happening. It happens in a totally different way from what you see on television. There are, you know, huge backlogs. It takes months to get the evidence processed. It looks more like a ninth grade biology classroom than it looks like these super slick forensic labs you see on TV. People have different roles in the investigation than you see on TV. But the concept of what DNA is and how it's used in crime scene investigations where there's an unknown suspect is basically right.
And so when is it being used? What sort of crimes or investigations is it being used for?
So at the moment, it is very expensive. That point is exactly right on. It's mainly being used in sexual assault cases and murders. The problem is that that's not really the kinds of crimes that DNA is most effective at aiding an investigation, because what we want to do is to use this in cases where we otherwise would never know who the perpetrator was. And in most sexual assaults, you know, it's a question of whether she consented or not. We know who did it. And in most homicides, the crime scene is way too chaotic for DNA to really contribute much. It's actually burglary is the thing where it's really cost effective.
although you are talking about the cost of doing that testing, so does it tend to be used for burglary or does it get saved for those more high-profile violent crimes?
Oh, it's almost ubiquitous in high-profile crimes, and it's almost never used in burglaries. And the thing that most people don't understand about burglaries is that people who commit burglaries also commit robberies, and they also commit rapes, and also commit murder. There isn't this progression of offending over people's criminal life course. They are opportunists. They do what's in front of them. And so you can get some really bad people off the street by using DNA to find a suspect in an unsolved homicide.
So I'm getting the impression that you would advocate that regardless of who's paying for it, it's worthwhile that somebody pay for its use.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think your guest before me, you know, the implication was that these are national issues, and which I assume means it implies some sort of relationship with terrorism. And but, you know, really, that's not how police are using DNA evidence in criminal investigations. They're using it for really run-of-the-mill local crimes. You know, and I think it's better if there's a national structure to it, but I think you can certainly morally and philosophically justify the idea of local governments paying for it, because after all, it is their citizens who are going to benefit.
Well, I think one number that Al Richmond, our previous guest, referenced was the city of Vancouver's bill for DNA testing was equivalent to hiring 7 full-time police officers. So I guess when you think of it in that cost, you can do the DNA testing, you can hire 7 officers. From that perspective, what would you say the city should be looking at?
Well, I mean, it's a fair point, you know, and that would be an interesting study to contemplate, which is, you know, are you going to get more serious felons with 7 new police officers than you're going to get with processing high-volume DNA evidence from crimes where there's an unknown suspect, there are no witnesses, you know, the fingerprints don't match anybody, you know, and DNA evidence testing automates all of that. So in a way, it's, you know, it's a question of whether you want the person or you want the computer doing the lifting, and that's a choice to be made.
Is there any evidence-based gathering studies that you're aware of that take a look at how effective DNA evidence gathering is at crime fighting, crime reduction, getting people off the street? Just places that cities that are listening to this might look.
Yeah, so we've done 2 studies at the Urban Institute where I work. We did one on the use of DNA to aid burglary investigations. Obviously, that's something I'm interested in. And one on whether on using DNA to aid the investigation of a recovered stolen car. And what we found was that the average guy that you improve tenfold the likelihood that you would solve a case if you use DNA in the investigation of a burglary. And the average guy who you arrested and convicted was a 3-time prior felon. So really serious offenders. I will say we found that it was almost completely useless in the investigation of motor vehicle theft, and for very parochial reasons. That, you know, if I go into your house and I smoke a cigarette while I'm burglarizing it, I have no reason to have been there, and I have no explanation for why my cigarette butt is there and my DNA is on it. If they recover a stolen car and my cigarette butt with my saliva and my DNA is on it, I can argue reasonably that I just walked by and threw it in, and I didn't have anything to do with the stealing of the car. So it all matters enormously. The facts and the context matters enormously, and, you know, we're not sort of taking those issues seriously enough in the United States, but it is time to really do so.
And then one final question for you briefly.
Yes.
Do you expect that the cost of DNA analysis is going to go down as the technology improves and gets a little bit more commonplace?
Yeah, I do. I mean, there's been all sorts of really interesting advances that allow what we call expert systems to do more automated processing. You know, there's going to be more of the use of what we call DNA in a box, which is having somebody be able to, a police officer, a sworn law enforcement officer, taking a DNA processing technology to a crime scene and processing it there, all of which will reduce the cost and speed up the time frames. But at the end of the day, there has to be real political will to make the kinds of investments that you're talking about here in order to speed this up because, you know, I mean, I realize a $700,000 bill sounds really big, but Vancouver is a huge city, and that's not a tremendous investment in reducing crime and violence in a city of that scale.
John Roman, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you for your time.
Certainly. Thank you for having me on.